Hello, and thank you for joining me for another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This ministry is brought to you by the Wash and Word Hand Car Washing Business, located in Churchill on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. And we have that hand car washing business, my wife and I, and it exists so that we can put these verse by verse Bible messages onto the internet and onto the radio. You can hear them on WMCH 1260 AM in the Churchill area at Monday through Friday at 8:30 AM. But if you want more information about the business and about the ministry, simply go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. So getting back into our verse-by-verse Bible teachings, we are going to finish the book of Jonah on this last message here. And we're in the process of going and looking at Jonah as he's been kind of battling back and forth with the Lord. As his circumstances changed, so did his attitude and his anger. And I kind of harped a lot on in our last message about not letting your circumstances and your environment dictate your understanding of God. And again, you can go back to the washandword.com website and hear all these messages that are archived. And in doing so, you can kind of catch up to where we're at. But we kind of made the point of how Jonah, we saw for the first time that he was very happy when God provided the vine for him. And then the vine got, eaten by the worm and it withered, and the sun and the scorching wind came, and got, Jonah got angry again. And you know, his attitude, his view of God, all these things are changing with his environment and with his circumstances. And that's the lesson I believe God wants us to teach or to learn through this, is that we understand God. We understand his nature through his word. His word and his nature that never change. And if we can understand God's nature through his word, and we fully grasp who God is based on the certainty and unchanging aspect of all of God's counsel, then we don't run the risk of having our view of God and our view of his nature altered by our circumstances and our environment being altered. And that's kind of where we left off. Spoke a lot about that in our last message. And so kicking it back up in verse 9, chapter 4, the book of Jonah, God said to Jonah, "Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?" And so God's questioning Jonah's anger again. And Jonah, to my surprise and kind of an I was surprised to hear this, because, let me ask you this. If God ever said to you, if you were ever angry with God, and as we spoke about a couple of messages ago, if you are angry with God, it's better to tell him because he knows anyway. And that's how we deal with it. That's how we gain our fellowship. But if you were ever angry at God and God actually said to you, "Do you have a right to be angry?" Would you ever reply, "Yes, I do"? I mean, we may think we do, but if God were ever to confront us with that, certainly the majority of us, maybe all of us, would say, "Oh, not really." But that's not Jonah. He said, "I do," when confronted about having a right to be angry. Jonah said, "I do. I'm angry enough to die." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and it died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" Now let's stop right there. That's actually the end of the book. Jonah, the book of Jonah for me is probably the most abrupt ending in any book in the Bible. It seems like there should be more, but it just kind of abruptly ends. And it's interesting how God deals with different people in different ways. Our first response is we think how very wrong Jonah is for seemingly caring more about a stupid plant, a vine, than he is about caring about 120,000 souls in need of rescue. When you look at that, you think, Oh, Jonah, how wrong for you to care more about a vine than about these 120,000 souls, enemies of Israel that they may be. Shame on you, Jonah. I mean, can you believe he cared more about a weed than the souls that were on their way to hell? I can't. That would be like saying, I care more about where I'm going to eat after church than where I might go and share real bread. That would be like saying, I care more about a football game than where I might watch God for moving in my neighborhood. That's like saying, or rallying and picketing to save animals, but driving right by the guy outside the Planned Parenthood who's also picketing with a sign. That would be like being upset over the trees and the forests and the snowy owls, and then letting Congress dictate what we are allowed and not allowed to say in public. I mean, can you imagine? You see, does God care about animals and cattle over humans? In case I didn't make it clear enough, I was trying to make you feel a little guilty in that last little segment. And not in a way that shames you, although most guilt has a way of doing that. And to get real with you, those examples I gave you were from my own life. You know, sometimes I care more about where I'm going to eat than sharing real bread with people in need. Sometimes I care more about where I'm going to watch the football game than where I'm going to watch God moving in my life and in my environment. Sometimes I care more about picketing for things when the guy outside of the abortion clinic is, you know what I mean? It's, sometimes we're a little askew, but listen, the stakes are too high to be concerned about your feelings. And if I made you feel guilty, I'm not sorry. We have to feel that way sometimes. We have to feel ashamed at times. There's not enough preaching going on out there that makes us feel uncomfortable. Listen, I care about people that are listening to these messages, and I care about what happens to people that I know, but, you know, don't get me wrong. It's not like I don't care. I just want the focus to be back on the Word of God, because the reality is we're just a plant or a vine, just like this plant and this vine. It was here today and gone tomorrow. That's what we are. We are a mist that appears for a short time and is gone tomorrow. Like the entire nation of Nineveh would have been lost, but Jonah only cares about the vine. God is using Jonah's reaction for us to question our own priorities. And again, going back to the way the book ends, I love the way the book ends. I like it because it's kind of like one of those movies that ends and it leaves you guessing. You walk out of there just going, well, you know, I wonder what he did. You start forming maybe your own conclusions. It just gives you an element of mystery. You know, I mean, what did Jonah do after this whole little incident with the vine and everything? How did he respond? What did Jonah learn? We don't know. I mean, sometimes the answers are right in front of us. I love the story. Sherlock Holmes and Watson were camping one time in the desert. They set up their tent and fell asleep. Some hours later, Sherlock Holmes wakes his friend. Watson, look up at the sky and tell me what you see. Watson replies, me see millions of stars. What does that tell you? Asks Sherlock Holmes. Watson ponders for a minute. Astronomically speaking, it tells me that there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically speaking, it tells me that Saturn is in the Leo. Time-wise, it appears to be approximately 3:15. Theologically, it's evident the Lord is all-powerful and we are small and insignificant. And meteorologically, say that again, it seems we have a beautiful day tomorrow. Why? What does it tell you? Sherlock Holmes is silent for a moment and then speaks. Watson, you idiot. It means someone has stolen our tent. And that's a cute little anecdote to get back to the point that I was about to make, and that is that sometimes the answers are right in front of us. You know, we leave this book like a movie, and we wonder, what did Jonah do? How did he respond? What did he learn? And we wrap ourselves around and get caught up in these questions. But here's the answer to those questions. It's like the tent. It's right there in front of us. The answer isn't to the question, what did Jonah do, or how did he respond, or what did he learn? That's not important. The lesson is found in verse 11. God says, there's 120,000 people who cannot tell their left hand from their right. And he ends the book. Should I not be concerned about that great city? That's the lesson. And everyone must face it. And if you don't see the importance of this question, then we have missed the entirety of this book. And regardless of your eternal position today, whether you're a believer or a non-believer or a skeptic or anything in between, we see that repentance and a change of heart are not exclusive to either camp. Whether you're a believer or a non-believer, repentance and a change of heart are not exclusive to you. Israel was God's chosen nation, God's chosen people, so that they could be a light to other nations. And so other nations could look to them and see how a theocracy runs as a nation. And when they see a nation being run by God as a theocracy, they will be drawn to it like moths to a porch light. And then they would know the one true God. God loved the whole world, all people, but he chose Israel as a means to express that love. And they were, that is, the people, others, were to be drawn to her, to Israel, and to meet the one true God through the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. But Jesus came, and he sort of upped the ante, if you will. He told us to go and catch fish and then bring them to me to clean. Jesus told us to go to the nations and proclaim the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus said to go and show them the light by walking amongst the darkness. Listen, the church building is for believers. We gather together to be edified. It is a schooling of sorts. We gather together to be refreshed and built up. It is an equipping center for saints. It is not an open house for sinners. Now, that may sound contradictory, but listen to what I'm saying. When you're trying to sell a house and you have an open house on a Saturday, for instance, what do? You leave the doors open and people come in and view your house and they come and go as they please. And your doors are open as an open house, but what if the house were to travel around and sell itself? What if the house, rather than being stationary and saying, come, look at the house I'm selling, what if the house were to move to places and try to sell itself? And you see, that is what God is teaching us through the entirety of the book of Jonah. And the very last sentence, should I not be concerned about that great city? God went to Nineveh. He didn't just say, here is Israel, Nineveh, come to it and see. God is using Jonah as an example of what we as Christians are supposed to be doing, going out to the nations, into the darkness. We don't just open up our doors on Sunday morning and say, hey, here's the church. This is where you find salvation. Come, sinners. Certainly that's something they can do, but that is not the existence of the church. That is not why we exist. And Jonah, the man, is an example of a godly person doing reluctantly what godly people are supposed to be doing today, enthusiastically. So friends, taking this all into consideration, let us take what we have been shown and spread the gospel message to the world around us, not just sit there and let people come to us. We are the instrument. We are the vehicle. Well, again, you can go to washandword.com to hear more about this ministry and this business and to download these sermons for free. You have a blessed day.